So why would anyone want us to believe the lie that women aren't good enough, that women have no right to be in ministry, and that women are subservient and less value than men in God's eyes? Who hates us? Satan. Who hates our seed? It says it will be enmity between us, right? Right in the garden, in Genesis, when they first were deceived and they sinned. God says that he will hate her seed. And yes, it's Jesus Christ, but now we are all, anyone who's a believer, belongs to his line. So any child we have, or even if it's in a mentoring capacity, because there are a lot of women mentors that will mentor other women, sometimes men, but often that won't happen because there's still that discrimination, even if the woman's called to mentor that particular person. And often you'll find that when you look behind this lie, that women are no good, you can't be trusted, and they'll pull two or three scriptures. There's two or three scriptures, but as we know, with any doctrine, you have to look at the preponderance of the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, not just one scripture that pops out, or one or two scriptures, and you base the whole doctrine, and you exclude half the body. Very dangerous. It's actually, unfortunately, the men, if they're godly men, they're actually cutting off their nose to spite the face. They're losing out as well. Because women can be incredibly, through the Holy Spirit, powerful as life changers and as freedom fighters. They can be amazing. And it's interesting that the ones that are sent out, often missionaries from churches are sent out, the women are sent out to the worst places often, that no one else would go. So because it's okay to be a missionary, if you use that title, it's okay. Heaven forbid you say minister. Oh, are you a this or are you a that? Which denomination? How did you get that? Did you study? When we even look at Paul, he got it direct. He got the New Testament directly. The Spirit of Christ. And who's that? Holy Spirit. And he had to constantly defend himself. And he was a man. And a very educated man at that. And a Roman citizen. And a Jew above Jews. And even he was constantly derided. Who do you think you are? What do you mean you're an apostle? Now let's just look at Romans 16. We're just going to look at the commendations that Paul gives to the women. Okay, he gives it to the men as well. They're coupled together. See, God doesn't go, oh, women, you are better than men, like they were doing in Ephesus. No. He says, you are one. And you're one body, and one spirit, and one mind, and one heart. Whether you're married or not, in the body, that's what we are. We're meant to be. So this is what he said in 16. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. It's the first one he mentions. Who is a servant of the church in Centuria. That you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. So it doesn't sound like she just bakes cookies. Or unleavened bread. And assist her in whatever business she has need of you. She might need them to help evangelize. She might need them to disciple. She might need them to help the poor. Whatever. Whatever way she wants you to assist. For indeed she has been a helper of many and myself also. Now, you can read that anyway, a helper. People say, oh, no, she's just, she's just a nice woman who bathes Paul's eyes when they hurt. We don't know what exactly she did, but she obviously was very worthy of being received and to be assisted in any way that she needed. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers like him, and he stayed with them for a while. And they obviously evangelize. And as a team, it appears, you know, husband and wife teams, pretty common. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So she was co-leading that church. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Achaia, to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia. Junia is the one that there's been a lot of studies about. There was a certain time when they wrote the scriptures out, you know, when it got actually penned whether it was Latin, I believe it was Latin, Greek and then Latin. They changed the name to Junius, which is a man's name. But when they looked it up, it is such a rarity, and they found out that it's really, there's still some controversy, but it's very minor now. About three-quarters of theologians would even say Junia was a woman, even conservative theologians. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen. In other some versions, it says brethren. In others, it says another term. I can't remember what it is. So either way, it doesn't mean, you know, you say my countrymen even when you mean women. And my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So they were commended among the apostles. Must have been incredibly dedicated. Greet Ampelus, my beloved in the Lord, Urbanus, and then he goes on and on and on to a few others. There's other sisters that are named. Greet Philogus and Julia, Narissus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints. Greet one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. And the God of peace, this is in 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Even though there's a few more verses. So it gives to you an idea that Paul, because Paul is often called a misogynist, you know, a man who hates women. And when I first came to Christ, I misread a lot of things as well. And I didn't understand. You know, you're a new Christian, everything can be a little bit confusing unless you're having really solid teaching and sound doctrine. If you're, you know, hither and thither otherwise, anything can be perceived as truth. And that's what he wants us to get to. We cannot perceive anything as truth. Believe a lie or speak the truth means you better be close to Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking close because he lives in us. I'm talking close in your communing with him, in your speaking with him, in your listening to him, in your asking him to decipher what is untrue or what you have in your spirit where you feel uncomfortable, what others are saying that denigrate you, that condemn you. If you're being condemned, throw it out. He doesn't condemn. He will chasten you. He will bring to light the things that are wrong. You and all of us as believers would have had it where God chastens us. Some people call it convicting. Some people, oh, you can't convict. Who cares what we call it? He tells you off. Let's call it that. He scolds you. And he says, why are you doing that? I told you not to do that. I told you to listen. People want to call that condemnation, fine. They want to call it conviction, fine. They want to call it something else, fine. He'll tell you off and chasten you and get you straight because he loves you that much, because he chastens those he loves, and they're his sons. And when we say sons, we're including daughters. Sonship, often it's said as sonship. I want women to get this so they don't think, oh, sons means I'm out, or well, they, why don't they say daughters? Because sons was the inheritance. That's how people usually inherited, especially in that time period. You were a son and you inherited. Interestingly enough, in Job actually gave his daughters inheritances. You know, land, sheep, cattle, the whole thing. That was very unheard of. There's a few rare times that it's noted in the Bible. That is one that I know of for certain. So when we say we're sons, it's because we receive the inheritance from Christ as a son of God. And it's nothing to feel funny about or go, oh, but I should be called the daughter. You say it even the way. He says he pours out his spirit on all flesh. Both sons and daughters will prophesy. It's fine. Either way, you don't have to get hung up on words. All we need to do is to make sure we're not believing a lie. And if we are believing a lie, we're not going to speak the truth. We're going to speak a lie. And many people nowadays, many people in the body, even in the true body, are speaking lies. Now that is a tragedy. Because they've been taught lies. so they speak them out. They go to other teachers. They go to other preachers. They go to other sources. They go to other books. They go anywhere but him. How are you anywhere? How are you ever going to speak the truth and know the truth? By the Spirit of truth. Holy Ghost, the person who indwells you and comes upon you and ministers to you and awakens you and renews you and restores you and brings life in abundance. He's the one we need to listen to, first and foremost. And if other things buzz in our ears, you can hear it. You know, I hear it sometimes. You're praying for someone or ministering, or if you're in the kitchen, you know, I'm a mom and a wife as well. And you hear all this stuff coming into your ears, you know, oh, but you can't say that. Oh, but, oh, you're too big for your boots. Oh, you need to be correct. Oh. You know, and Satan will pull out scripture just like he did with Jesus. It is written. That's your response. It is written, neither Greek nor Jew, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. And we're not talking about disrespecting our husband at all. But what we do submit to is the will and righteousness of God. Not someone, if a husband is abusing a wife, and they're being told you submit to that because that makes you a good wife, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because God never set up women to be abused by their husbands. The husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. If they're not walking in that, she's not to submit to him and say, it's okay, darling, beat me up again, or harm the children, or degrade us with your mouth. That's fine, because I must submit to you. It's no wonder the world thinks we're mad, if that's what we're telling women. Submit to hellish behavior. Submit to the devil who's using your husband. And he gets away with it because he's conned women that they have to be good girls. You know, if someone is, whether this is for somebody specifically or just in general, if someone is submitting to an abusive husband, that husband isn't going to suddenly turn around because you're being nice and playing nice. Usually someone who's abusing, whether they've been abused themselves or not, isn't even the issue. If they're abusing and you continually put up with it, what do bullies do? They just keep pushing the line further and further and further. If you make a line in the sand, they stop. One way or the other, we make that line in the sand. So the enemy has degraded women for so long that we've believed the lie. We've got to be good little girls. We've got to never say anything naughty. We've got to never say anything firm or strong. I'm not saying we should say anything naughty. Nobody should, you know, please swear or whatever. But that we can never speak our mind. That's what we've been taught. And yes, feminism came in and it was supposed to be, you know, it turned things horrible. It's a horrible lie. Maybe it started out with something good, that they wanted women to be, you know, equally treated and paid the same amounts and all of that. But it, you know, the enemy just, I don't know whether he started feminism or whether he just got onto the bandwagon later down the line. But however it is, it turned women into slaves of the corporate world, slaves of the contraceptive pill to kill their own babies. I mean, it's just disgusting what that did. So we are not talking feminism here. We're talking about the value, the worth that God himself has for his creatures that he made, including women. He died for us too. Why? So we can be in bondage to men? No, so we can be a slave of him. A slave of liberty. That's what he's speaking for now. That's what he wants us to know. So don't put yourself in a box anymore, women. You don't belong in a box. He doesn't belong in a box, and he's in you, so don't put yourself in one. You be who he called you to be. If you get a lot of flack for it, which you will, I promise you, that's okay. It means we're doing the right thing. I'm not talking about going out of your way and being difficult or nasty or disrespectful. Never. No, that doesn't honor God. We're not talking about that. We're talking about speaking his truth, standing for it, no matter what anatomy you have. He doesn't care about your anatomy. He cares about your heart. Is your heart mine or not? If your heart's not mine, don't speak. If your heart's mine, speak it out loudly. That's what he's saying. No more wimpy women. We do not need to be wimps to be good women. We need to be his. That makes us good women. We need to be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you walk in him, you're not going to treat your husband like garbage. If you walk in him, you're not going to treat your children. If you walk in him, you're not going to deceive people or commit adultery. You walk in him. It's not follow a doctrine. Follow two scriptures. And oh, hopefully, you know, you'll be saved. No. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Women, you are sons of God. For many are led by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Do you really need to get it? You really need to get it. You are sons of God. Sons of God. Sons of God. It's amazing. We are actually sons of God. If we get that, when we get dismissed and denigrated and derided and all the other things that happen to us, anybody who speaks the truth. Men get that too. I mean, they were burned to the stake as well. You know, Wycliffe, all of the men in the, you know, that was in 15th century. There were a lot of burnings, you know, a lot of burnings going on in 15th and 16th century for speaking the truth and wanting to free the people so they could actually know God themselves personally. So we'll have that. You know, it might not be literal, but they still do burn Christians in different countries. But it might be a character burning through slander, through lies, through demeaning you. But remember what he says about you. You know, all the things he says about men are the same for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. Since when did that stop? Now go and be a nice little woman and make cookies. Shut up. Be quiet. Because it's two scriptures that say so. And nobody looks at the context of the scriptures. They just look at the scriptures and go, "Go, oh, good. I can make my wife shut up." Is that what they want? Men don't realize when they do it to their wives, they're actually denigrating themselves because you're one with her. So hello, wake on. It's time for women to stand up. Not against men. For God! That's what this is about. It's for God. For truth. For righteousness. For love. For love. That's what it is. For love. He's love. So we don't have to play Susie Homemaker anymore. I'm not saying don't be a housewife right now. Man, housewives are like, they are domestic decorators, you know? They really are. They're amazing. They do like 40 things at once. And okay, maybe once in a while they burn the dinner, but most of the time they get it all done. Incredible. And they don't go to bed till after their husband's still doing the work. Getting everything organized for the next day. Or cleaning up to that day that they just had. So it's not your position. We don't care about position. God doesn't care about position, other than he calls you to a position, and then he says, now do it through me. But he doesn't go, oh, that's a good position. Oh, you were called a preacher. You're better than that. Housewife doesn't do that. I mean, look at Wesley's mother. You know, the Wesley brothers, I think they had 17, she had something like 17 children. I mean, something outrageous, because back then they had so many. But they didn't have TV. No, because they, that's part of the reason. But also because they somebody died. So the more children you have, the more chance you had of having some left. And she used to, she raised them and educated them all, because homeschooling was basically the way you did it back then. And unless you're going to go to Oxford or university, but you know, that was later down the road when you were grown. And she used to, I remember reading a story about her, she'd have her apron on, and the only time she could be alone with God is she put her apron over her head. She took the whole thing along with her overhead, and that meant the children just left her alone, because that's when she was having her time with God. But she raised those boys, and they turned things around. You know, John Wesley started the Methodist Church, and he had lay preachers out in the field. They were preaching out in the field because he was kicked out of every church for preaching. And he had women preachers as well, women lay preachers. He said, if you're called of God, I don't care what you are. Go and preach it. Preach the truth. You know, that guy quickly snuffed out after he died, but they did it for a while. And then Charles Wesley wrote all of these most amazing hymns. You know, they call songs anointed. Well, were they anointed? Glory, glory, glory to God. They were all about the glory of God. And what he had done for us. And still, sometimes he's thinking. Those were the two brothers she raised, so, hey, what a ministry. Changed England. And, I mean, those ministries carried on to other parts of the world as well. Because I love what John Wesley said. And this is true for all of us. I'm speaking to you women because you need it. John Wesley said, when he was kicked out of parish after parish after parish and told, go to your own parish. You don't have a license here. You know what he said? He said, the whole world is my parish. And that's true for us too. The whole world. Whether in your sphere of influence, and you think, oh, it's only this little sphere of influence, you have no idea how affected others can be by what you do with one person. You have no idea. Jesus only had 12. He didn't have thousands following him as disciples. They followed him because they wanted to get fed. They followed him because they wanted to be healed. They followed him because they wanted to see miracles. But there were only 12 that stayed. Well, 11, and then they had to have a replacement. So don't worry about the numbers of the people that you affect. Look at the quality of the fruit. That's all we can do. We know by our fruit what we're doing. If we're doing it right, we will see blossom in people, the blossoming of Christ. If it's one or 5,000, it doesn't matter. But it's more likely going to be a smaller number because you can't take the time with 5,000. You know, teach 5,000. And even if you have teachings online or preachings on TV or whatever, people get affected, yes, by your message, whatever. To have the actual interaction and the contact and real relationship and fellowship, that's not going to happen with 5,000 people. Or a million. And a lot of the what's preached in the main media, it's very skewed anyway. So it's best to have more personal contact when you can. When you can. I'm not saying you have to. And the greatest personal contact we have, who's up close and personal? Holy Ghost, thank you, Lord. So you've got personal contact 24/7, really. It's great to have it. You know, it's great to have it for in your own life, too. As a, you know, some people call it God with skin on, you know, someone in the flesh. Who is truly a brother. And how do you know it's your brother? Not because they profess that it's brother. Not because they demand from you that you better forgive them and be nice. Not because they tell you to behave yourself. No, you know they're your brother or sister because they do the will of the Father in heaven. That's the only man you need to know. That's the only man you need to know. Or that you will know. Because a lot of people call you their brother. And then other people in the true body will be defending the apostate church. This is what I think is happening a lot. They'll defend their lies. They'll defend their cheating. They'll defend their stealing. They'll defend all kinds of issues. Because they want to believe a lie. Because you believe a liar,